Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for this. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence as always with us, as always in us. Everywhere we go, there you are. And we just give you praise and give you glory and honor. We thank you, Father, that we have ears to hear. Yes. To hear things that other people don't hear. And we thank you that we have eyes to see. Yes. Other things that people don't see. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your presence on the inside of us. We thank you for that ever constant influence. That we're not just natural people, that we're naturally supernatural. Mm-hmm. I thank you for every person in this room, Father. You declared the blessing is upon them. Jesus, you bought that for them. And I thank you that everything they put their hand to, because they have ears to hear, will prosper. That you've given them the ear of a disciple, that you wake them up in the morning and they hear your word. They hear you speaking to them and you put your word on their mouth. And I thank you, Father, that you've given them the tongue that speaks the things that you say. And we just praise you and bless you for that. And we thank you for expanded influence in the earth. Because the increase of your government is on your shoulders. We thank you that it's not on ours. It's on yours. And there'll be no end to the end of to that increase. Everybody get that prayer said, amen. 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 Well, we've been doing a study on the kingdom of God. And we've talked about a number of things. And, you know, I guess if you want to get caught up, you can get the CDs. I'll just make this mention since we're here. That we do record every service, every message. And if you have a desire to re-listen to some things, because I know sometimes I put a lot out there. I had somebody tell me one time, you're like a fire hose. You say too much. You know, we can't take it all in. And I know that. That's the reason why there's recordings, so you can get those recordings and meditate on the things the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Yes. So I would just make, let me have that little sheet there. If you haven't seen one of these and you desire to have a CD of the message, then make sure you fill this out. And we've basically made the cost of the CDs the cost to make them. So it's $2. Everybody wants to give their $2 worth, right? I mean, anyway, those are back on the table there. If you desire, we also do MP3s. MP3s are free. If you fill that out and you circle MP3s, understand that we will send you an email. I've had a number of folks desire to get the messages, so we send them the email, and they never accept the invite. The email will give you instructions on how to accept the invite to the box, so that every time a message is uploaded to that box in Dropbox, you will get it on your computer, but you have to accept the invite to that box. I've had people say, well, I already have a Dropbox. Well, it doesn't matter if you have it. You have to accept the invite from this box for it to be downloaded to you. So just to kind of clear that up a little bit. we've been talking about the kingdom of God. And I shared with you my heart last week a little bit. Along these lines, I want to share some more things today. And go to 3 John. We'll start there, and then I'm going to explain something a little bit, and then I'm going to show you a little video clip. 3 John. If you're like me, you've heard this verse. How many know what verse I'm going to? Verse 2. 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. And that's all anybody ever reads. For a lot of years, that's the only verse I knew was in 3 John. Because that's the only verse anybody ever mentioned. And so, let's look at this verse. I want to expand this verse, our understanding of this verse a little bit. Because that's not all that John wrote in the third letter that he wrote. He writes here again in verse 2, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you'll prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. Now let me know that the New Testament was written originally in the Greek New Testament. And in the Greek New Testament, there are things that are called tenses, past, present, future tense. They also have a perfect tense, which means it happened in the past, but because it happened in the past, it has existing results right now. So I want to show you what this verse says, bringing those tenses into these verses, because really, folks, you cannot read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John without having insight into the tenses in the Greek New Testament, because it changes what he's saying. 3rd John here says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects that you would be receiving prosperity on an ongoing, constant basis. It's in the passive tense. It means to be receiving. You're on the recipient end of it. He says, I pray that you would be receiving on an ongoing, constant basis. It's present passive, which means it's ongoing, constant, but you're on the receiving end of it. And be in good health, actively be in good health, just as your soul is receiving on an ongoing, constant basis, prosperity. Now, I want to expand this a little bit because I've talked in the past about, you understand the concept of living connected. Living connected versus not living connected. I want to pull that understanding into these verses because he brings some things out later on. John is a very live connected guy. He's not about just memorizing and learning doctrine and theology, and that's as far as it goes. He's a very living connected guy. Him and Jesus were the closest of all the disciples. He speaks more about the nature of love that is the nature of God in 1 John. And he understood what living connected looked like. He says, in the Father is light and there is no darkness in him. I heard that firsthand from Jesus. We handled him. We touched him. I'm telling you, there's no darkness in him at all. And this is what light looks like. And so 1 John, he was explaining to the church, this is what light looks like. Don't let people come alongside you and try to twist things and tell you something is light when it's not, or tell you that you're not walking in the light when you are. He said just hold your place here and go back over to 1 John chapter 1. And let's just pull this verse into it. 1 John chapter 1. Actually, let's just go to chapter 2, and we'll go to look at verse 3. By this we are knowing on an ongoing, constant basis. I'm reading you what the Greek New Testament brings out. By this we are knowing on an ongoing, constant basis that we have come to know him in the past with existing results. The word know there means to have personal involvement with him. Can I interject something here? And I want you to hear me, please. Don't get off in the ditch on this. But I want you to hear me when I say that merely sitting down and reading scripture out of the Bible is not having personal involvement with Him. Can we understand that that's the case? He's saying here, by this, we are knowing on an ongoing, constant basis that we have come to know and have personal involvement with Him when we are keeping or guarding or watching over, or literally you could say giving His, what He says to us, a place to land. I'm going to know when He says things to us, He's, when it comes to ministering out in society, He wants His words to land someplace. Right? They're not just for us, He wants them to land on someone. And so He says, this is how we know through personal involvement, this is how we're knowing through personal involvement that we've actually come to know Him. When we are watching over His commandments, and when you see that word commandments, you need to write in your margin, John chapter 12, verse 49. Because we're not talking about something that's print. We're talking about something that Jesus said, what the Father says to me, I always obey His commandments because I know that they are life. So we're speaking of something that comes by the Spirit of God from the mind of Father. He says, we know that we've come to know Him when we're keeping or giving His, the words that He's speaking to us on an ongoing, constant basis, a place to land. The one who says, I have come to know Him, but is not keeping those commandments is a liar, the truth is not in him. But whoever is keeping His word on an ongoing, constant basis, in him the love of God has truly been perfected or brought to perfection. By this we are knowing on a constant basis that we are in Him. The one who says he is abiding in Him on an ongoing, constant basis ought himself to walk completely in the same manner. Now watch how this is worded in the Greek New Testament, because your English Bible does not say this. He says the one who is, by this we are knowing that we are in Him, the one who is saying he is abiding on an ongoing, constant basis in Him ought himself to completely be walking in the same manner as He is walking and on an ongoing, constant basis, even as I'm talking right now. It's in the present tense. It's ongoing, constant. So that's speaking of a connection. That's not speaking of understanding a theology. Can we understand that? I really want to get this over to us, folks, because you're going to see in this video clip, you're going to see a massive contrast between what we're talking about as far as living connected, and this is what John is speaking of, versus just living theologically. And you're going to spot it immediately. You're going to spot it by what the man says and what he thinks. And it all has to do with his version of Father. Everything that he says, everything that he does, everything that he thinks is according to his version of who he thinks Father is. If he's been trained by a system that says, Father's way out there, you're here. He doesn't speak to you anymore. The only thing that you've got is the print in this book. So you're going to see some contrast here, and I want to go back over to 3 John real quick. I want to just show you this. We'll come back to it. I talked about, you know, John says, my prayer for you is that you receive on an ongoing, constant basis prosperity. And that while you're receiving ongoing, constant basis, can we expand this past our usual thought process of money? Okay. Can we expand this past our usual thought process of substance? Is it included in this? Yes. But I want you to see something here in 3 John. He says, my prayer is that you Your soul is always continually receiving prosperity. So that you're always continually receiving prosperity. But how does your soul receive prosperity? See, now here's what I was trained. Your soul receives prosperity by reading the Word. Is that true? Yes, that's not a trick question. It is. But that's only half true. John tells you what the cycle is in this little tiny letter that nobody pays attention to. It's all in here. He says this. He says, "Brethren, when brethren came to me," this is verse 3, "and testified to your truth." Everybody say your truth. Now this is what the NASB says. He calls it your truth. I'm going to show you why that is in a minute. He goes, "And how that you're walking in the truth." Everybody say walking in the truth. Okay, that walking is an ongoing constant basis. It's present tense. So obviously, them walking in the truth has to do with them receiving a prosperous soul. Right? Let's keep reading. "Beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, especially when they're strangers, and they have testified to your love." So we know that they're constantly ongoing, constantly walking in the nature that they are, right? The love of God. Because God is love. He goes on to say, "Before the church, you'll do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God." You'll find that phrase a number of places in the writings of Paul even. Do things in a manner worthy of God. Verse 7, "For they went out for the sake of the name." How many know that we live for the sake of His name? His reputation. His name is His reputation. He goes on to say, "They've accepted nothing, no support from the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to support such a man so that they may have, that we may be fellow workers with the truth." Now let's jump ahead here. Let me go to verse 11. He says, "Beloved, do not imitate," or this is in the present tense also, "do not be imitating on an ongoing constant basis what is evil, but what is good." It goes on to say, "The one who does good is of God." Is that what your verse says? That word "of" there literally means out from. That's speaking of living connected. The one that is doing good is out from God. You could say that's what going out for the sake of His name has to do with. And I'm going to show you some things along that line today. Doing good, whoever is doing good, is out from God. And it says the one who is doing evil on an ongoing constant basis has not even seen God. Now look at verse 12. By the time we see this guy's name, usually we're winding down the letter and we're just kind of, well, this is the end of the letter. But if we do that, we're missing the whole truth that ties this entire letter together and tells you truly how you receive a prosperous soul. And that is, he says in verse 12, "Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone." So he must be, in verse 11, he must be one of the ones that's doing good all the time, right? Which means he's connected. He's not just doing it out of his own ability. Because he says here, he who is doing good is out from God. There's a connectivity there. He's living connected. Okay? Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because of what? Because God was with him. Connection. So he says here that Demetrius, as an example, has received a good testimony from everyone. And, what's the next part say? From the truth itself. He's received testimony, or he's received a witness from the truth itself. How do we receive a prosperous soul? Is it just how we read the Word? No. You have to read the Word. That's only one leg. The other leg you got to put down and walk it out. And when you begin to receive a testimony from the truth itself, that truth becomes yours. That's why he said here in the very first verses, the brethren testified to your truth, how that you are walking in the truth. So that this, the cycle is, we live in the Word. The Word teaches us how Father thinks. It causes us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and recognize His voice, recognize His leadings, recognize His impressions. Okay? Recognize how to live out of our spirit. It keeps our mind submitted to our spirit. And when we walk out the truth out there, because we're living out of God, however He leads us in society, however He leads us in our personal life, we go with that. Because we're living out of God. We're living in our spirit. We're living out of God. And because we're living there, the truth will bear witness to you that it is the truth. In other words, you're going to see things happen and see things change. The truth will always cause the natural to come into line, and it will bear witness to you that you're walking in the truth, and you'll take that one step further. You'll take ownership of it. We have to have the whole cycle. The challenge with so many in the church is we thought just reading words on a page and reading them over and 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 over again was what was giving us a renewed mind, and we were having a prosperous soul. No, that's just changing the way we think. We have to walk it out and allow the truth to bear witness to us that it is the truth. In other words, it's proven. Once that cycle takes place, you take in the Word. Father, the Spirit of God gives us revelation of what He's saying. We put pressure on it in the real world. We stand on it. We walk it out. If it's believing God for something, we put pressure on it, we walk it out, and the truth bears witness back to us that it is the truth. If we are out and about in society, and we're learning how to be led by the Spirit of God, and this is really what I'm talking about today, and we're learning how to minister to people and meet the needs of people out of our spirit, because we understand that Jesus is in us, right? Now, you know what I'm saying by that. I mean, He's physically in us. I mean, His Holy Spirit is in us. But everything that is the Father's is Jesus, and that's why Jesus said, I'm going to give you another Comforter, just like me. So we understand that He's in us. See, most of us as believers, we don't have a God consciousness in us that Holy Spirit is in there. We don't. We're more conscious about our job. We're more conscious about what we're looking at. We're more conscious about what we do. We're more conscious about everything else around us, what our eyes see, what our ears hear. We don't go places with the consciousness that God is on the inside of you. Let me just shed this light. You remember how Jesus said, He told the disciples, now I want you to think about this. He told the disciples and He said, pray like this. Our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. Your name, cause your name to be set apart. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. His kingdom and His will is the same thing. Okay? His kingdom is the execution of His will. On earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so earth is supposed to mirror heaven, right? When it comes to the will of God. Is it supposed to? Yes? Heaven is the model. Earth is the mirror. Whatever the will of Father. And we've talked about all these things. I don't think anybody would disagree with me that whatever's in heaven is supposed to be in earth and vice versa in the, you know, the mirror. Okay, now I want you to think about this. Who's at the right hand of Father right now? Okay. I know we are. But specifically, Paul told Timothy, at the right hand of Father right now is the man, Christ Jesus. So in heaven, the presence of God is in the presence of man. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that's a true statement? You don't think that's the same truth on the earth? Jesus secured what he told the disciples to pray. He secured it in his very being. So if the presence of God is secured in the presence of man in heaven, then you better believe that in the earth, the presence of God is secured inside the presence of man. Amen. That's who we are. So everywhere we go, we should be going with the understanding that we are the presence of God. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and his nature is your nature, you're one spirit with him, you have his mind, because Holy Spirit will see to it that he shows you how Daddy thinks. Mm-hmm. If we walk there, we'll be doing just like John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, I think it was, that those that are walking in him will be walking the same way as he's walking, present tense, all the time. Living connected. Okay, now watch this video.
The strangest places I've ever been. Venice Beach. I knew these were God's kids too, but I saw pretty quickly that they were, special. So Doug started praying for people, but something just wasn't right. The people were polite to us, but just barely.
Hey, we're doing a show here. Anybody want to have a dream interpreter or their tattoo interpreted? We're doing a documentary.
Doug admitted to me that usually people down here are incredibly receptive, but for some reason it felt like something was blocking us. That's when I noticed these guys.
We're adulterers, we're men who practice homosexuality, we're thieves, we're dreamers, we're drunkards, we're violent, we're killers, we're people of God.
They were killing my Holy Spirit mojo. And as is usually the case, whenever I see the fire and brimstone type, I was annoyed. So I approached one of them to find out why they come out here to do this.
So you've been doing this since the 80s?
Yeah.
Holy cow. What made you start doing it?
Well, it seems like a good idea. The Bible says God's word won't return void. So people read God's word on a banner as they're walking by, it's going to have some effect.
Okay.
And then there's actual Bible handouts over there, Gospel of John, and things like that. So people are accountable once they hear and see God's Word. I mean, there are more confronted parts of this ministry that I'm involved with, because we actually go to the sodomite parades.
Okay.
Hollywood, Long Beach, San Diego, Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit different, because that's more of a rebuke to those people.
So you're rebuking them?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you love them?
Well, you do, but you rebuke them because most of these people, see, if it was a drunkard's parade, we would be out there rebuking the drunkards.
Okay.
But they're sodomites, and they're proud of their sin.
Okay.
So what did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? Rain fire down from heaven. So we're just there to say, hey, wake up, everybody.
So what about like, the approach of, I mean, I understand, like, that, you know, you believe what they're doing is wrong, but don't you think that like loving them would be more effective?
That is loving. Telling them telling the truth. That's the most loving thing you can do, is tell them the truth.
So have you guys ever like had a conversion out here?
There's been conversions from some of the literature, but not me personally.
Okay.
But I've only been doing this since the late 80s. These people have been doing it their whole life.
For these people, their understanding of the Father colors their actions, as it does for all of us. They're doing what they think is right based on the character of the God they believe in. Obviously, we had a pretty sizable difference of opinion, and I was angry because they were making evangelism harder for the rest of us. But then, in a moment of clarity, I realized an uncomfortable truth. I've always judged people like this, and I've never once stopped to love them. I've never done to them the very thing I'm judging them for not doing to others. Sometimes it's harder to love your own family than perfect strangers, and for better or worse, these were my brothers and sisters. I now knew the real reason God had brought me down here today. All day long, we were reaching out and touching people. We didn't want to yell at them from afar, but to personally love them the way our Father loves them. It was time to take the plank out of our own eyes and extend love again.
So God, we just bless Mike, and we just bless him because he stood out here and taken ridicule, and he has stood his ground. Father, I thank you that he's a good and faithful servant. So now I ask you to bless him with a greater level of finances. I pray for a return into his life. I pray for the healing anointing to come on him so that he could actually go lay hands on people in the hospital and you see them rise up. That power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, is resting in Mike right now. We have different methods, we have different approaches,
yes,
but
sir.
We're on the same team.
Amen.
I bless you
right.
so much.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Again.
It's good to talk to you.
Well, how long was it?
So you see the contrast. Now, am I trying to make an example of them? No. What I want to show you about that is this. Did you notice what he said? The guy asked him, have you had any conversions? He says, well, not me personally. But I've been doing this since the 80s. We've had something from the literature. Why do I bring that up? Because go back over to Isaiah chapter 9. If you love me, hopefully you'll love me when I'm done. How many have ever had somebody ask the question, well, how come the book of Acts looks so different than today? Anybody ever had that question asked? I have. How come the book of Acts looks so different than, you know, what we see the churches today? And I can tell you the reason, and the reason is what we're going to talk about right now. Isaiah chapter 9. We're dealing with the kingdom of God. Isaiah, the name Isaiah means God is salvation. Okay, so you see things. Isaiah saw things by the Spirit of God about the time frame that we're living in right now. He saw things by the Spirit of God about the time frame following the resurrection of Jesus. You'll notice that in the Gospels, Isaiah is quoted most of all. And I want to show you some things along these lines. If you look at the prophetic writings of Isaiah, and most folks, when they read these writings, they relegate a lot of this to when this whole thing is over with, there's a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, all that stuff. And is some of that stuff talking about that time period? Yeah, it is. But if we're missing a key issue that the Spirit of God is trying to get over to us. What is the common thread that will, the environment that will be when this whole thing is over with? I don't care what prophetic writings you've read in the Old Testament or Revelations. What is the common thing that everybody understands? That the presence of God will be in and with and among men forever, right? Isn't that an understanding? That is what when this whole thing is over with, the understanding is that the presence of God will be among men forever. I will live, move, and dwell among them. But isn't that true right now? So when you read the prophetic writings in Isaiah or any of these other writings, if they're not specifically dealing with Jesus and when he comes into the earth, understand that the results that you're seeing, that you're reading in the print, are the results that are there because there is that union between the presence of God and the presence of man, and this is what it creates. Okay? Isaiah chapter 9, he says this, in earlier times, this is one of the prophetic writings that was specifically dealing with when Jesus was going to come into the earth. He said, in earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt. But later on, he will make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan. Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, verse 2. This is quoted in the Gospels, remember? And he goes on to say, those who live in a dark land, the light will shine in them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad what? In your presence. What did Jesus do when he came into the earth? He brought the presence of Father into the earth. John 1 says that specifically, he came into the earth to reveal the divine secrets about Father because nobody knew who he was. Over and over again, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen Daddy. If you've seen me, you've seen Daddy. If you've seen me, you've seen Daddy. The disciples 3.5 years later, just show us the Father will be good. You mean to tell me that these last 3.5 years, everything you've seen, everything you've observed, all the stuff that's not written in that Bible I'm going to have written at one point, at some point down the road, all those things that aren't even written in, all those things, that if you put them all together, that you could wrap them around the entire world, there's not enough books to contain them, all those things, you mean to tell me that you think there's part of Father that I've held back and you're not seeing it? In today's modern vernacular, you can just hear Jesus saying, really? So this is specifically talking about when Jesus comes into the earth, they'll be glad with in your presence. As with the gladness of harvest, and the men rejoice when they divide the spoil, you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. You shall break the yoke. What was it? What is he going to break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders with? Their presence. His presence. They just said, they will be glad in your presence. You will break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. What will break that yoke and that burden is being in his presence. His presence breaks the yoke. His presence removes that staff on their shoulders. Now, let's go keep on going. And since it's December, you know, this is a good scripture to read. Verse 6, for a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be, what? No end to the, everybody say increase. Let me ask you a question. Does increase mean we're just staying in the same place? Does that sound like increase? Have you ever had any conversions? Well, not me personally. 20 years, given the benefit of the doubt. Okay, 30 years, whatever. That doesn't sound like this verse. It says, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. How? With his presence. With his presence. Now, I'm gonna put this out there to you. Well, go over to chapter 10. You're already there in Isaiah. It says, let me ask you again. What is it that breaks the yoke and the burden off people's lives? His presence. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It says, so it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from their shoulders and his yoke from their neck, and the yoke will be broken because of what? Just read what you've got. My NASB says fatness. Some people says the anointing. Anybody else have anything else other than that? Let me just tell you, is this speaking of anything different than what we just read in chapter 9? What this is actually saying is this. Understand this. So it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because of fatness. Or in a couple of places, it's the same exact Hebrew word is translated plenteousness or abundance, but it's plenteousness or abundance of his presence. The yoke will be destroyed because of the abundance of his presence. Now let's just read a few verses in Isaiah, so that I can kind of show you something here. Chapter 11. This is also speaking of Jesus, but understand anything you see in Jesus is for the body too, right? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. And he will delight in the reverence of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the reverence of the Lord? Well, it's what he's just getting ready to tell you right now. He will not judge by what his eyes see, and he'll not make a decision by what his ears hear. That's reverencing the Lord. Not leaning to your own understanding, but in all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he directs your steps. So reverencing the Lord has to do with not judging by what you see and not going and making a decision to speak of what your ears hear. Now, verse 9. The end of verse 9 says, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Do you think that the earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord by any other method than the context of what he's been trying to say the last two chapters? The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord because there's a fullness of the presence of the Lord in the earth. Why do we separate that out? Because the system tells you to do it. The system trains people to live disconnected. I don't have the presence in me, so I have to use props. The system doesn't train us to live out of the presence, the person of the Holy Spirit in us. I mean, in Isaiah chapter 9, I know I said this last week, but I want to re-bring it up. But we need to think about what he's actually saying here. If he's saying that there is no end to the increase of his government, and that from the point that he enters into the earth, he's going to establish the kingdom of God, and from then on and forevermore, he's going to uphold it. There's no end to the increase of his government. It rests on his shoulders. Aren't you glad that it doesn't rest on ours? Now understand what I mean when I say that. If it doesn't rest on our shoulders, then how we demonstrate it shouldn't be coming out of our own head, then should it? Was this guy living from the print? Yeah. He was living from the print. Was there any increase of his government going on there? People staying away in droves. So I'm going to submit to you this. What this is speaking of is not merely putting the word in front of people. That's what we've been trained. We think that that's what we do. Put the word in front of people. It's got to be more than that, because this says there's no end to the increase. So what is it talking about? Well, let's look at some of the verses. Go to there's a bunch of them. Let's just go jump over to Isaiah 16. Isaiah 16. And Look at verse 4. It says, let the outcasts of Moab stay with you. Be a hiding place to them from the destroyer. For the extortioner has come to an end. Destruction has ceased. Oppressors have completely disappeared from the land. Why is he saying this? Because again, we're dealing with the presence of God in the midst of the presence of man. That's why this is true. Right? So if that's true, when this whole thing is over with, would it not also be true on a spontaneous basis? Yes or no? Absolutely. Goes on to say, verse 5, a throne will be established in judgment. Is that what it says? Are you sure? What does your Bible say? Faithfulness. In what? Somebody said truth? Truth and faithfulness? A throne will be established in loving kindness. A judge will sit on it in faithfulness in the tent of David. Moreover, he will seek justice and he prompts in righteousness. Now, again, understand, we've looked at this in previous meetings. When Father talks about justice, he's talking about the restoration of that which was stolen away from someone, the restoration of that back to them. That's what he says justice is. Okay, now, go to you know about chapter 25, verse 6. It says, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all people on this mountain. That mountain is representative of the kingdom of God. In the Word of God, kingdoms are represented by trees, mountains. He says, on this mountain, you will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of marrow, refined aged wine. On this mountain, he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretching over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time. Now we know, obviously, this is speaking of most people say at the end time when the thing is all over with, because Paul said that, you know, death will be swallowed up in victory. You know, your body will receive, you'll receive a redeemed body. But I want to submit to you that Jesus accomplished this. And it says in verse 9, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God, for whom we have waited that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord. Everybody say the hand of the Lord.
The hand of the Lord.
Go read the book of Acts and see how many places the hand of the Lord shows up after the resurrection of Jesus. The hand of the Lord has brought us, or rests on this mountain. Okay? Now, go to, I'm just showing you a few verses here. I mean, there's a bunch of them. I don't have time to give them all to you, but chapter 32 says this, behold, a king will reign righteously. Let me ask you a question. Is there a king reigning righteously right now? Yeah, Jesus. He said, there'll be no end to the increase of his government, and he'll uphold from that day forward. Which, everything from the resurrection forward, he says forever. So this is certainly speaking of the time period of the book of Acts, and it's certainly speaking of everything from that point on. Behold, a king will reign righteously. Each will be like a and princes will rule justly. Each will be like a refuge from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shade of a huge rock in a parched land. Who are these princes? You. People with the same nature as the king. They'll be like, you'll be like streams of water in a dry country. You'll be like shade of a huge rock in a parched land. The eyes of those who see will not be blinded. The ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the hasty will discern the truth. And the tongue of the stammerers will hasten to speak clearly. Why is all this thing so? Because the presence of God is in the presence of man. And the two are united together. Okay, go to... I love this one here. This is great. Look at verse 22 in chapter 33. It says, they will say, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. Then jump down to the end of verse 23. It says, the lame will take the plunder, and no resident, verse 24, will say, I am sick. No resident will say, I am sick. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquities. Why is this so? Because the presence of God is in the presence of man. This is what it produces. I don't have the exact verse, but I'll tell you this. Isaiah flat out calls sickness and disease oppression. Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. Now, go to chapter 35. We said, by looking at Isaiah chapter 9, it has to be speaking of something more than just a body of people with words. Do you remember I made this statement last week? We need to quit trying to sell our fruit and let them pick it. Do you ever notice that the system trains us to go for the clothes? It does. I mean, I've been in numerous evangelist courses. And every one of them, they teach you to go for the clothes. You're trying to get them to pick your fruit. I want to submit to you that's not the system. That system certainly has ends. Correct? So it cannot be what Isaiah chapter 9 is talking about. There's got to be more that Isaiah saw than just a people having words and giving and presenting words to people and getting them to bite. Look at Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Look at verse 2. Well, let's just start at the very beginning of the chapter, because the contrast is there. The children of the wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the arbor will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Verse 3. Now, before we go to verse 3, why is all this so? Because the presence of God is in the presence of man. Can you see that? Do you understand that? Any place in here where you see this kind of verbiage, that is the reason why it is so. Because he's speaking of a scenario that the presence of God is in the midst of or in the presence of man, and the two are together. And this is the end result. This is what he was seeing. He didn't know the people that he was talking about. chapter, verse 2, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those that are anxious of heart, take courage and fear not. That's pretty simple. Did you hear what I just said? How many could do that? Could you do that? Encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble, say to those that are anxious of heart, take courage and fear not. Do you want to know why there's no end to the increase of his government? Because he wants people to be on the receiving end of this. Look what happens as a result of this. Verse 5. He will save you, into verse 4. Verse 5, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, the tongue of the mute will shout for joy, waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Arabah, the scorched land will become a pool, thirsty ground springs of water. And verse 8 says, a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. And then it goes on to say later in that verse, it will be for him who walks in that way. What way? Chapter 2, verse 2. The redeemed will walk there. And then at the end of verse 10 it says, and they will find gladness and joy. I don't have time to get into it today, but next week we're going to go through the book of Acts. And if you want to go through with me, if you want to go through ahead of time, you feel free to do that. But I want you to go through the book of Acts, and I want you to find instances where the early church functioned anywhere outside of ministering out of the presence of the Spirit of God in them. Because that's the blueprint that the modern church has. They use everything that they can find other than teaching people how to minister out of the presence that's in them. So go through the book of Acts and you find every example you can find where the early church ministered to people out from anything other than the Spirit of God in them and the presence of God in them. Anybody want to do that homework assignment? I've already done it, so, you know, I'm not asking you to go where I haven't gone. Folks, look, I'm not trying to be heavy, okay? Understand that? How many know I love you guys?
Yeah. Amen.
How many know I love you guys?
Amen.
Okay. How many want to see no end to the increase of his kingdom? Well, then maybe we should, before we strap on the tool belt, maybe we should get in and learn this and learn to live from here. I'm not saying anything else is wrong. Well, except for maybe that. But we want to be people that, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God wants to change the culture of what people call church. And I'm telling you, and I'm not saying anything against anybody, it's not about people, it's not about buildings, it's not about anything else. It's not about groups, it's not about any of that. A mindset has settled into the body that says, I can do this, I don't need the head. And it's just not so. Not if we want to see increase, no end to the increase of his government. If we can encourage, and we can build up, and we can lift up, and we can be a blessing. I'm going to show you some stuff in the book of Acts that's going to blow you away. Then understand, I don't care if you know all kinds of theological stuff. You don't need to know any of that. If you can minister the life of God, the love of God, and you can be a blessing to people, and you can build them up, and you can encourage them, and you can say, you know, then if you can start there, you're going to see so much activity of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit flow through you, because now you have Daddy's heart. And Daddy knows he can trust you with the gifts or the manifestation of the gifts because you have his heart. We've got to learn to function from Daddy's heart. Understand, folks, tools are not bad. But when tools take the place and cause us to be crippled when it comes to learning how to minister in from his presence, then it's not the proper tool for the time. We've got to learn to minister from his presence, because his presence is what breaks the yoke and destroys burdens. You know, I heard a guy say this. He got up to speak, and he lives here. He lives in this place, ministering to people all the time. And things are popping. Every place he goes, man, people are getting healed, set free. It's amazing. He said, the first thing he said when he got up to speak in this meeting, he said this. He said, "I just want to let you know." He said, "I don't do what I do to make YouTube videos." Why did he say that? Well, because you can do anything and do it, but you're not connected to him. We got to know Daddy. I'm telling you, nobody in this room knows Daddy as well as he wants us to know him. You know, I don't care if you got stuff in your head that you feel awkward, you feel weird. I heard somebody say, I don't know how to love God. They went to church every week. I don't know how to love God. That's not odd. Because most Christians don't know how to love God. They don't have any personal, intimate time with him. And yes, dudes, I'm talking to us. We've got to learn how to get to know Daddy. I don't care if your daddy sucked. It's not him. Don't transfer what you experienced in your life to him. Because Jesus clearly said, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Right? Did the Holy Spirit say that? Well, that's what Jesus says too, right? What did Jesus demonstrate in the earth? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Daddy is so good that when you get in his presence, you just can't help. How can I say this? When you connect with his heart, you can't help come apart. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we need to go around living broken all the time. I'm not saying that at all. Because, you know, you pray in tongues, it builds you up. He wants you to live a built up life, not a broken life. Jesus fixed you. You're not supposed to live broken. But you are supposed to live connected. If we want to have an impact in life, we've got to learn how to live in that place of living, knowing Daddy. Then we know Daddy, and we can minister out of his presence. The presence of God is what breaks the yokes. It's what breaks the yokes. Where do you start? Start encouraging people. Start going up and asking, Lord, how can I be a blessing to these people? Show me something. I want to speak something into their life. I want to do something for them. I want to pick up their tab in their meal. I want to tell them that I'm a Jesus guy. And, you know, I just want you to know he just thinks you're a blessing. And he loves you. And he thinks you're amazing. And I'm just going to pay for your meal. Look for ways to be a blessing to people. Build them up. We're not selling anything. They'll pick it. Because they want it. Did you guys get anything out of this at all? Still love me? We can go there, guys. We are created to go there. We are created to live there. If anybody should have daddy issues, I should have it. I got a 1% chance of living. I was adopted. Have no clue who my dad is. Absolutely no clue. All I know is I like to sleep around. That's why I'm here. I have absolutely no clue. But you know what? Kind of glad. Because I don't have a natural anchor. This is my identity. No, that's not my identity. My identity is him. You know, have I arrived? No, but I'm gonna go after him with every fiber of my DNA. Because I'm not satisfied until when I leave this planet, we've changed the culture of what church is. And people understand it's not a building. Nothing wrong with buildings. We're gonna have one. It's a tool for efficiency. The body, people will run to the body and grab the body when the body ministers from the head. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.